I'm Katie Kempner, and welcome to Perspectives, which is a series of inspiring conversations with remarkable working women. And I am really excited to be speaking today with a longtime friend of mine, Erin Donahue Tice. Erin, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to reconnect and to be here.
Well, we have known each other for a number of years, but in a different capacity back when you were in the corporate PR world. So could we maybe start by talking just a little bit about your professional path and how you went from PR to painting? I thought that sounded good, PR to painting, but really it's so much more than that. So yeah. Let's hear a little, please.
Sure. So I guess right out of the gate, I started in the PR world within the advertising agency space back in 2005, right after I graduated college. I kind of fell into an internship at Leo Burnett in Chicago, doing PR for the advertising space, which was something I didn't even know existed. And I fell in love with it, the whole thing. I had majored in PR, but now I was immersed in the advertising space at one of the most iconic agencies in the world, working with really creative people and promoting all of their amazing creativity. And it just was so much fun. And I kind of rose through the ranks in that space in Chicago, moved to New York to work at JWT, then eventually landed at an ad agency, DeGeneres Communications, which we have a mutual friend, Sam DeGeneres, who really has been my mentor ever since. That was in about 2011 that I went to work for Sam, and was specializing in working with all kinds of ad agencies, media companies, entertainment companies, and loved every minute of it, and really looked up to people like you and Sam, who had been in the space a little bit longer and, you know, just kind of knew the game inside and out. It's a very niche space and you kind of have to know all the players and all the media outlets, and everything was really, really changing at that time. And it was fun and it was fast paced. And then my husband, who at the time was my fiance, got a job in Austin, Texas. And I said, Sam, I got to resign. We have to move to Texas. And she said, why don't you be our first remote employee? And that was 2014. And so it all kind of worked out. And I was the first remote employee for DGC, continued growing actually clients in Austin on the West Coast. It kind of served as a great thing for the company at the time to have somebody in Texas when Austin was really exploding in the tech space. And then I got pregnant and had one baby. 20 months later, had the second baby. And I said, I got to take a minute. My husband was traveling all over the country, actually all over the world at that point. And we had two kids under two. And it was a wild time. And as much as I really loved what I did, and I felt so grateful to be able to work from home and do what I had been doing the last 12 years from the comfort of my home, it still wasn't enough flexibility to really focus on my kids at that time. So I resigned from DGC, although I stayed on doing some consulting for quite a while, which again was such a benefit. And kudos to Sam DeGeneres for just kind of seeing somebody's talent and saying, even if you can't work for me full time, let's find a way to keep you in the mix. And that was a really crazy period for me when I had two kids under two. I had postpartum depression that I didn't know I had until much later. I was very anxious. I was a new mom without many friends. I had just moved to Texas. My husband was gone all the time. And all of a sudden, my identity had changed. I had been this New York and Chicago career woman. Now I'm like a mom and don't have really a full-time career, don't have many friends. And at the same time, we were decorating our house in Austin. We had purchased a new house, renovated it, and I started to fall in love with the design process. And that kind of became a creative outlet for me. But I couldn't find art that I love in our market. And I thought, I've got a little free time when my kids nap or when they're in bed at night. They go to bed really early. So, you know what? I'm just going to like try to paint something myself. And I would go to Hobby Lobby or the local paint store and pick the brains of the people behind the counters and say, like, what's acrylic paint versus oil paint? What's oil pastel? What kind of paper should I use? What kind of canvas would you recommend? And I started experimenting when my kids were asleep at night and during the day when they were napping. And about 6 months of doing that, I started to see some stuff on the canvas that my husband was saying looked good. My friends were saying looked good. My mom was saying looked good. And I thought, you know, why not me? I kind of know how to do this PR thing. I have some business experience. I'm really starting to get into Instagram and understand how that works. I'm just going to launch an Instagram page for my art and see what happens. Literally, no expectations. Let's just see. And I did everything that I had advised clients to do, just in a different way. So I did a photo shoot. I wrote an email to everyone I knew announcing my new business. I built my own website. I didn't hire anyone to do it. I learned Shopify. I just like dove in, watched YouTube videos, figure it out. I wrote all the messaging around kind of my background and why I was now an artist. And I just kind of like built a little brand and I put it out into the world and I sold a painting within a week and I couldn't believe it. And we can kind of get into how that's evolved, but that was in 2018. And ever since then, I now can tell people when they ask what I do that I'm a professional artist, which is still crazy to me. But
tell us, let's start by telling us a little bit more about your art.
Sure. So I'm definitely an abstract artist. I don't know how to paint a portrait of your dog or, you know, of the favorite lake that you grew up going to. And people have asked me to do those things, but my mind does not work that way. I literally throw a bunch of different colors on a canvas, mix different mediums, oil pastels, foam, paper, watercolors, wash, like all kinds of stuff that I've experimented with over the years. And it's very bright and colorful and abstract, although I have lots of styles. So now I do abstract botanical pieces. I do textural kind of 3D pieces on canvas. I do very neutral pieces. I do black and white pieces, but I would say my signature look are bright and colorful abstract pieces.
Which are beautiful. Thank you. Absolutely beautiful. So you and I both share a love of interior design, and you talked about, you know, starting it when you moved to Austin. Your home's been featured in magazines and on Homeworthy, which I absolutely love Homeworthy. Imagine my surprise when I was clicking through the videos and there you are. So tell us a little bit about how your home and how interior design plays into your work. I know you have a line of your own products as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where it started. I was renovating that first home in Austin. And then in 2019, we bought the home that we're in now and renovated that. We like to renovate old homes. I don't know why, but it's a long process and it's really super fun. And I love traditional interior design and kind of the old school, like our house is 1940. And we really tried to honor the heritage of the house. It's actually a historic house. It has a marker. But I love to mix modern elements. So that's where my art comes in and kind of putting a splash of a really crazy abstract piece on a traditional molding over a fireplace or something like that is what lights me up. And we were lucky to work with a designer for both of those houses here in Austin, Kristen Nix. And she was kind of coming up in the design world as I was coming up in the art world. And now she's huge and does people's homes all over the world. It's been really fun to root her on. And so I worked with her and a female builder actually to do this house. It was like three of us day in and day out working on this creative project. And I think, you know, PR is creative and that always allowed me to express my creativity. But this takes it to a new level to create art, to work with designers, not only for my own house, but now I'm working with designers all over the country to place art in other people's homes. And it's so creative. And that kind of led me to thinking that I could have my own line of textiles, wallpaper, home decor. So about a year and a half ago, I started experimenting with taking my art and translating it into patterns. And this was another thing I just had to kind of figure out. And I worked with a textile designer and they created what are called seamless repeats, which is basically taking a section of your painting or your design and repeating it over and over and over to make a pattern, which you see on wallpaper, on fabric, on apparel. And so that has led me to being able to put it on wallpaper, fabric. I now have china plates. I have pajamas. I have quilted jackets. I have tablecloth and more is in the work. So kind of melding all these worlds together, especially now that I realize I can put my own stamp on some of those things with my art.
So let's talk about that in terms of melding your worlds together, because being recognized as an artist and a designer is, of course, about your talent. But there are also many talented people that never get recognized. And you mentioned how, you know, this time that you had in PR, this very successful career that you had, really has helped you with developing your personal brand. So for people who perhaps have another line of business or art or something that needs to get help them get noticed, do you have any suggestions for them?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that still to this day, 90% of my business has come from Instagram. And I've done other things. I've run ads. I've done PR. I have done gallery exhibitions. I have done art shows. But 95% of my clients are coming from Instagram. And I attribute that to building a personal brand. And when I say a personal brand, I mean, people know what my design aesthetic is. It's very clear when you go to my Instagram page. I've invested in high quality photography. I have messaging around who I am. So I am a postpartum mom who found painting, scratched the creative itch that I was, you know, experiencing at the time, found art, and that it's not too late. And whatever that is for you, it's not too late. And I really leaned into those messages and related to a lot of other women around my age, moms going through similar things, who liked my art, but they also liked me. And I showed up on Instagram stories frequently. I posted reels. I was constantly studying how the algorithm was changing. And was it reels today that I needed to be posting? Was it, you know, beautiful imagery? And I was constantly like getting ahead of those things and putting myself out there proactively. And that might not be comfortable for everybody. And I do have to kind of put on a brave face when I get on Instagram stories and always say, fake it till you make it. You kind of have to wear a bit of a cape when you go on and put yourself out there, but it does help endear people to you. And I believe that people buy art because of the artist. They like the art, of course, and maybe they find that it's going to look great in their home, but they really want the connection behind the art. And I think that that's what's worked for me and can work for many people trying to launch their brands. It's a wide world out there on social media. Like, show up, be yourself, maybe an elevated version of yourself, have a cohesive aesthetic, and stay true to kind of two or three or four messages of who you are and why you do what you do.
Well, putting on my PR hat for a moment, that's very good advice. So anyone listening, take that advice. And then let's talk about your website a little bit. So Sure. Does that drive people to your website? I mean, you have a beautiful website.
It does. Yeah. Instagram is a huge driver to my website. So it's the biggest one for sure. I have an email list as well that I collect emails on Instagram and then get them over to my email list. So I try to send 1 to 3 emails a week. Recently, they've really expanded into more like lifestyle-y kinds of emails. So I just did a Nantucket trip recap. I'm sharing clothing I'm wearing. I'm sharing how my art can be hung in certain environments. So I'm trying to kind of appeal to all the facets of my customers and the things that they like to do, which it makes it easy because I am my own customer. So it's like, well, what do I like to read about and to wear? And where do I like to travel? And then I just kind of recap that in my emails. But my website, as I said, I built it from scratch on Shopify in 2018. And then in 2022, I hired a firm to kind of reskin it, elevate it, make sure I had consistent colors and branding and font and imagery. And it's a work in progress. Navigating a website that now sells not only art, but clothing and home decor and all the things, like, it's complicated. And there are things that I would like to continue to update on it. But I think that it reflects my brand when someone lands on my site.
I love the part of your site that says my dopamine menu. You know, you have 3 boys, right? And it's very important to carve out time for yourself, which for some people is extraordinarily luxurious to be able to even find time. Some people have more time, but I like it because you have a lot of tips on there that don't even take a lot of time. So tell us some of your tips for relaxing.
It is a luxury, and time is a luxury. And some days I do all the things on that list, and some days I don't do any. So, you know, it's all about balance and kind of what you can accomplish. You don't have to do everything. But I think turning 40 last year, it kind of, you know, it's that internal clock that's like, okay, I got to really take care of myself now. have little kids and I need to be around. So I started last year drinking this green powder that tastes disgusting, but it really makes me feel less bloated and kind of like better that I'm getting nutrients. I take that every day. I try to do dry brushing. I started doing that like a few months ago and it really like wakes up my lymphatic system. It takes me 30 seconds. Try to do it when I wake up and before I go to bed. I've really invested into walking, and that's something I had about a 10-day stint in the hospital with a severe bacterial infection in April of this year. And it really put life into perspective. And when I got out of the hospital, I wasn't up for doing any kind of strenuous workout. So I started walking 10 minutes and the next day 20. Now I'm up to walking about 45 minutes to 60 minutes a day when I can. It's not every day, but I try. And I think the most beneficial thing about walking is getting vitamin D and just taking off my sunglasses and trying to like soak in the sunlight. And I find that that really regulates kind of my whole system for the day. And it does take time, but I'm working on my phone sometimes or listening to a podcast or catching up with my mom. So I'm trying to multitask, but still enjoy kind of the meditative state of things.
Although I hear it's been very, very hot.
Well, it's always hot in Austin, but actually it's been in the 80s, which is like so nice for September. Normally it's 99 and horrible. So we'll take 85.
Yeah, that's not bad at all here in Miami Beach. I need to come to Austin to go walking. Yeah. I love your story and the way that you have been able to create a business out of something you feel extraordinarily passionate about. And some people have the opportunity to do that. Some people don't. Do you have anything that you've learned or any advice or things that you've learned along the way for people in terms of following their passion, whether or not it can become their full-time work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I did it when I could at first. It wasn't full-time at first. I still was paying the bills by doing PR consulting on the side and relying on my husband's income, which I was lucky to do. But I was just doing it like with the one or two spare hours I could find when I started out. And that usually was late at night or during my kids' nap. So I think starting small and having a side hustle, there's nothing wrong with that. It took about a year and a half, 2 years before I didn't have to do anything else. And it actually like became more lucrative than my career in PR, which was crazy. I just did what I could. And I would say that to anyone else, like spend 30 minutes a day on it, find the time, make it a priority. But I get that you've got a life and you have to work another job probably, or you've got full-time responsibilities with your children or whatever it is. It's hard to find the time, but just start small and set a goal in your mind. I remember writing down that first year what I wanted to make income-wise 3 years from then. And I wrote it down on my phone and I just put it out there and I hit that goal. And it wasn't that I was focusing on that goal every day. I just kind of had it in the back of my head, like, I just chip away at this little by little by little. I think that I have the skills to make this a real thing. And I had people around me that were really supportive and really believed in me. And that obviously helped a lot. But use social media. It's the best thing going right now to build a brand and get yourself out there.
Anywhere else besides Instagram that has really been useful to you? Or has it been Instagram and your website?
Well, I guess this kind of straddles Instagram, but I really sought out partnerships in the beginning through influencer relationships, other like-minded brands that had similar customer sets, where I would partner with them for a collaboration of sorts. We would do an event together, or we would do a giveaway together, or we would, I curated actually in 2022, 11 brands came together in the Hamptons and I kind of set up the whole thing. It was fashion, it was accessories, it was art. And we all came together for 2 days. We had a dinner, we had a pop-up thing. And it wasn't that I made a ton of money selling my art in those 2 days. It was that I aligned myself with the right brands to get myself in the right conversations. I also went to conferences the first 4 years of my businesses with a lot of female entrepreneurs and kind of got myself in this mix. Again, got myself in the conversation. So that over time, I wasn't the one always reaching out to people to do these things. People started reaching out to me because they saw me in those same circles. So you got to put yourself out there.
That's terrific advice. So in the vein of putting yourself out there, where can people find you? What is your Instagram? Where should they go?
My Instagram is definitely the number one place. It's at Erin Donahue Tice Art. It's a mouthful. I didn't really think that through when I launched, but Erin Donahue Tice Art. And then my website is erindonahuetice.com. I also have a TikTok that I'm trying to be more proactive about posting on. It's the same handle, Erin Donahue Tice Art. And yeah, my website, you can pretty much find links to everything.
Fantastic. What's next?
Well, I am experimenting more with some apparel. So I have had to switch vendors in India. That's been a whole learning of learning manufacturing and production and overseas shipping and customs and like all kinds of crazy stuff. The first manufacturer didn't quite work out. So now I'm with number two and hoping to launch some dresses in the spring. I'm a big girly girl, love dresses, love sundresses. I live in Texas. You know, we go to the Hamptons in the summer. So I love like floral, kind of fun, cotton, easy dresses that never go out of style, classic silhouettes. And we'll see if they work and if people like them. But I'm hoping to launch those in the spring. And I'm sharing a lot more fashion pics lately on my Instagram. People seem to be liking that. And I wouldn't call myself an influencer, but I'm creating content and working with more brands in that capacity. So really looking to kind of see what that world holds for me. But I think at the core of everything that I will continue to do will be my art. That is what centers me. That is what brings me back to my joy. And I don't get to paint as much as I used to. But when I do, I remember like why I'm doing all this. And I hope to just continue being an artist that people want to invest in and collect my work. And yeah, we'll see. I don't know. My mind is a little bit all over the place right now. So we'll see what's next.
It sounds like it's all over the place with phenomenal things. And I'm so excited for you. And you are an influencer and an artist and an inspiration to so many people, including me. And I'd love to just end this with, is there one piece of advice that has really helped you through your career right from the start till now and your life that you could share with us, please?
Sure. One piece of advice, I would say if something isn't working, cut bait and move on. So for instance, I launched some tablecloths and they were selling okay, but they weren't selling great. I'm not going to reproduce those. They just weren't working. I'm not going to spin my wheels. If I create a whole collection of art that I personally love, but isn't selling super well, I'm probably not going to create 10 of those next time. Maybe I'll do one for myself. Back in my PR days, if something wasn't working with a pitch that we were sending out, you know, you had to kind of redirect and change course. So I think don't spin your wheels trying to do the same thing over and over and over and hope that one day someone's going to like it or buy it. Like just cut bait when you know it's not working and try something else and keep evolving.
Well, it's working for you. And I can't wait to see where else you're taking everything that you do. Erin, thank you so much.
It was so great to catch up. Thank you so much for having me, Katie.